Hi, I'm Jerry. I'm an addict. I've done this work as it's outlined in the big book with the help of a big book step study sponsor and a loving God. I have made my amends and I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. Thank you, everybody. There's a part of me that when we get to step 12, and I always feel inadequate to be sharing on this step, but as there are aspects of this second part of the step that speaks to us as addicts. And so I'm going to focus more of my thoughts on what it says to us as addicts. It starts out by saying we now have someone who's interested in doing the work the way that we do the work in BBSS. Probably have come to some meetings, and so you know we start the process. And then it discusses some of the person's characteristics, the situation that that person might be in. And it speaks to us right away about the concept of not enabling somebody else's behavior. And that's one of the things I love about Big Book Step Study is we are an all addictions group. And so codependency, or helping others out of some internal sense of not okayness with ourselves, it's kind of my personal definition, is what shows up here right away. So the 12th step keeps us really focused when we're working with others on our own motives. And it can get pretty complicated when there are situations where it feels gray. And I've been in situations where I would like to have helped someone, but I could see that that woman had a particular problem she was unwilling to address and that we would need to address in doing the work. And in the end, she decided that the timing wasn't right. So, and as we finish the reading and we say all addictions, you know, one of the thoughts that just came to me was the drugs and the and I'm slipping on what's the word what's big in the
relapse.
The chemicals that people are taking they get when you're in the hospital and you have a pain.
Opiates.
And I just flashed through my mind. Just think about how big our rooms could get, and think about, and just I can just have such empathy for the magnitude of trying to make a change from a drug of that nature. Because why do we use? We use because of how it makes us feel. It makes us feel better, and so that's why I say I'm an addict. I find that now, in all honesty, I am working a program in OA because I have learned that there's another substance I can easily use if I want to change the way I feel. I'm kind of starting to also address and think about another one, which is shopping. Because when do I go shopping, and what do I, and how do I shop? Do I shop intentionally, or is it about feelings? And so, I've come to see in this program, in BBSS in particular, that for me, I have to keep getting down, down, down under those layers to what has not yet, what is still not surfaced, that causes me to need an alternative to deal with my feelings. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that as we go along. So the first concept on page 98 is this of enabling. And when I think of, that was very confusing for me in the beginning. I was raised with a perspective of this is what you do. You this is make sure the other person feels good. And so there are a lot of things where alcoholics or addicts come into contact with in situations that they're in that my heart goes out to them, but at the same time I have to learn how to kind of draw that line to be most helpful to them. That for any of us, that any kind of enabling behavior in our desire to walk free in this world without having to alter our conscience, that requires a thought that even amongst ourselves, that we think about our motives in how we're helping each other. And sometimes it's called, you know, tough love. That's another word for it. On 98.2, it also talks about we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence on other people ahead of dependence on God. And this, as I'm expanding, working my program, one of the things that the conversation I had literally as coming over here was, God, please grant me the gift of being able to control my own self-discipline. Please grant me the gift of self-discipline. And the answer that I feel I got back was, I gave you choice. And I was kind of struggling with, I've got these glazed donuts sitting at home. And now, of course, they are definitely going in the trash now. But that's just an example of how it's not just saying that our dependence on God is sometimes, for me, it's a conversation and a struggle with God to, because the God of my understanding does ask me to do my part. And that is, for example, for me in the area of food, would be walking around the perimeter in the grocery store, not walking through the middle of the grocery store. For me, having had back surgery, it was understanding what I was being given and being very thoughtful, careful, prayerful about the use of those medications. So we do, the dependence on God, for me, is about, there comes a time in my recovery where I finally can just let go of something. But I also, in all addictions, have found that, like with back surgery, just having had back surgery not too long ago, I kept a nice clear distance from that line of where I could have started to really enjoy the change in my mental attitude rather than just the relief of the physical pain. So I can just empathize so much with all the various ways in which addictions can come into our life. On 99.2, it talks about relationships. And one of the things I've learned is when I'm working my program, as I've worked my program and as I've worked this program in particular, that while I'm really doing some heavy work, that is not the time to start new relationships for me. It's confusing enough just trying to deal with myself, and to put myself in relationships means that I might just, I'll just continue to do my old bad behavior, and I may not continue doing what I want to do, which is to work the steps, work the program here. So it talks to us about day by day, and I'm sure, you know, we're all aware in this room of minute by minute sometimes. You know, sometimes a day is a really long time. But we're asked to be persistent. On 100, that is 100.1, if you persist. So there's that word persistence. So yes, we do depend on God, no doubt about that. But it's not like he just takes us by the hand and takes care of everything for us. Does expect us to do our part. So persistence. And another thing I just saw as I was reading was not to beat myself up when I don't do what I would like to do in recovery. That my higher power wants me to have a sense of enjoying life. That this is about happy, joyous, free. That's why I'm doing this, is to be happy, joyous, free. And so putting too much pressure on myself when I screw up just takes away some of that joy. And again, kind of changes that balance with my higher power to say, I'm thinking I should be able to do what I really can't do, that I've got to have my higher power to be able to make this thing work. So I love from 100 on through 103. Those are some of my favorite pages, and they spoke to me so much when it comes to an all addictions environment. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things. It talks about alcoholics wouldn't do. And when I first got sober, I was single, and I couldn't have alcohol in my apartment for sure. Well, I ended up getting married, and I have to laugh, but I dusted the bottles on the bar cart. And I was totally oblivious to the fact that this was alcohol, but I was dusting, and at Christmas time I'd put little Santa Clauses on them, you know, but they weren't speaking to me anymore. And that has been true in the area of nicotine as well. That was quite the long, many years battle before I finally was granted full freedom from that addiction. And it's interesting that I never noticed the smell, and now I don't want to be impolite or have, you know, but it bothers me. So I am so grateful, because the minute that would start to smell acceptable again, that'd be a very dangerous place for me. That was a really tough one. God didn't grant me freedom from that addiction nearly as quickly as I was granted freedom with alcohol. And so I've come to appreciate that, again, that if happy, joyous, and free in this program and in all addictions, where I'm uncovering new areas of ways in which I can use a process or a substance to alter the way I feel, that the thing I need to, that it's really reminding me is that this is a lifetime journey. I came in here expecting to get healed and never have to do any more work again. And that has just not been the case. There's a saying, I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. I'm okay, and I'm on the way. And so it's brought me a great sense of humility as I'm finding that there are so many ways in which I can try to alter my feelings, that's okay, that really God is doing work in me, that is getting to much deeper levels, that's helping me to peel away. And much of it is family of origin work. I've just recently completed another cycle, and I think we probably all say it, I'm not going to be like my parents. I'm not, if they were alcoholic or whatever that was. And I always thought I was a very positive, upbeat person because my mother was scared of her own shadow at the best. We locked the doors and we lived in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota, and I mean nowhere. So there wasn't anybody going to be coming around knocking anytime soon. I thought I wasn't like her at all. And yet, in my work, I've just realized that I have this set, I can easily have negative expectations. Living here in Florida, hurricanes bother me tremendously because I'm at a stage in my life where I really don't want to lose what I've got and I don't want to have to replace it. And I thought I was being very, having a lot of common sense because I've got the list, I did every single thing as said in terms of preparing. My husband and his son were participating, and I could tell it was tongue-in-cheek, but that doesn't matter. And it wasn't until just doing a little bit more work that all of a sudden what came to me was, oh my gosh, what I'm really dealing with, preparation is okay, planning is fine, but what was underneath that was another aspect of what I needed in step four and step five, that I would be able to deal with my emotions so that I could go through the process of, once again, surrender to be able to live happy, joyous, and free. So my experience is that this is a continuous improvement program. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.